The entire daf was about an esrog. The Gemara started out by saying that on the one hand, we're told that an esrog that's entirely peeled off is possible, and the other hand, an esrog that's peeled on the outside is kasher. So which is it? The Gemara says, "Lo kasher habikula habimiksasa." It depends if it's entirely peeled, the way Rashi understands, then it's going to be kasher. If it's only partially peeled, then it's menumar, and it's going to be pasul. The Gemara talks about what if there's a hole in the esrog. So if the hole does not create a chaser, there's nothing missing in the esrog. So if it goes through and through from one end to the other end, even if it's very tiny, would pasul the esrog. But if it doesn't go through and through, then only if it's biki isar, if it's the size of an isar, it's going to pasul the esrog. The Gemara then raises a shaila. We know that there are halachas of treifas by an animal. What if an esrog has simani treifa? Would the esrog be pasul also? So just like by an animal, where the reyosh and nishpacha, it has a lung that spills liquid, nishpacha kikiton, so if as long as the bronchial tubes are still there, it's going to be kasher. Is that only by an animal where it's the lungs aren't exposed to the elements, but by an esrog, where it is exposed to the elements, it's not going to be good? So that was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara tried to bring a raya from the fact that we say tafuach visaruach is pasul, which we assume means that it's damaged both on the outside and on the inside. So the Gemara says, no, it's not what it means. Tafuach visaruach are both types of damage that happen to the outside of the esrog. Now, in that brisa, we happen to mention that an esrog hakushi is pasul. So the Gemara says, wait a second, we have another brisa that says that an esrog hakushi is kasher. So there are two answers to that question. Abaye says that when do we say that an esrog hakushi is pasul? We don't really mean kushi, we mean dome le kushi, that in some way it's similar to a kushi esrog, to an Ethiopian esrog. Rava says, no, halan v'halahu. It depends what you're used to. If you live in Bavel, where every once in a while we see a black esrog, so then it's not so bad. It's not possible. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, where you never ever see a black esrog, so then it's going to be possible because it's very, very unusual. The Gemara tells us that tiny esrogim, Rabbi Akiva holds that an esrog haboser is possible, but the Chum holds that it's kosher. Rabbi Shimon holds that a tiny esrog is pata from maisos. So the Gemara says, oh, you see, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon say the same thing, that a tiny esrog is not an esrog. So the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference between the two halachos. Rabbi Akiva might say a tiny esrog is not good for dalid minim because it's not hadar, but to say it's not chayv and maisos would have to not be a fruit, and it is a fruit. Or Rabbi Shimon might say that it's not chayv and maisos because you need something that's derech ben adam to be motzi lizriya, to want to replant. But for dalid minim, all you need is that it actually be an esrog, and it is in fact an esrog. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon are not really associated with each other. The Braisa also mentions that if you grow the esrog in a mold to shape it a certain way, that's kosher as long as it's not grown as kamin birya acheres, to be in the shape of some other type of fruit. That would be pasul. The Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina would take a bite out of his esrog and then still be yotze with it after taking a bite out of it. So there are two problems with that. One is it's against the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that if it's chaser kol shu, it's pasul. So well, that's not a problem, because chaser kol shu is only problem Yom Rishon. He took a bite out of it for the other days of Yantiv. But the other problem is that an esrog that's bitten by a shenagvu achbarim, Rav says is not hadar. So if Rav says it's not hadar, so how does he understand what Rabbi Chanina did, taking a bite out of it? So he said there's got to be a chiluk between an achbar taking a bite out of it, that's disgusting, versus a person taking a bite out of it, that's not going to be as disgusting. The machlokas in the Mishnah about the minimum size of an esrog, whether it's ke'egos or kebetza, you have a parallel machlokas when it comes to avanim or krezelos, the stones they used to use for toilet paper, what the maximum size of those stones can be to carry on Shabbos in violation of Muktzah Midrabanan for the sake of Kavod Arbrios, whether it's also Ke'egos or Kebetza. The Gemara says that as far as the Machlokas Tzimam about how large an esrog could be, we wanted to bring a raya from Rabbi Akiva, who lifted an esrog on his shoulder, it was so large, to bring to the Beis HaKnesses. We said that's not a raya that you're allowed to have an esrog that's so large, because all the Chacham criticized him. And they said, you're not allowed to use such an esrog, that it's way too big. Then the Mishnah had a Machlokas Tanayim, the next Mishnah, on Lam Vavam Beis, about how to be ma'aged the lulav. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to use dafka, the min of the lulav, to tie the lulav. And Rameir says, no, it doesn't need to be the min of the lulav. Rameir says, I have a raya, because they used to tie it with gold. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not a raya. Underneath the gold, they use the actual min of the lulav. So Rabbi Yehuda, who requires binding with the min of the lulav, would still allow the siv and ikra didikla part of the palm trees, just as he allows them for sukkah, which he also holds needs to be made only out of the dalad minim, but still siv and ikra didikla still count as one of the dalad minim.